Hey, welcome to Selling People, Not a Process. This is Eddie Green. We're going to start a brand new series now called Developing a Servant's Heart. And this is going to be a complete paradigm shift when it comes to the sales process. I've been on both ends of the spectrum of where you go in and you actually have the boiler room mentality, where it's a one-call close, it's aggressive, it is create the need, close the customer, get in, get out. I think that those days are changing. In traveling and doing sales all over the country, it's really become more about not so much what my company can do for you, but what would you need from my organization. So we're going to get down to the brass tacks. This is going to be, I don't know how many parts this series is going to be, because I don't know that you can truly get down to the meat and the nitty gritty of how important it is that you don't necessarily have a head change, but that you have a heart change as a salesperson. I think Jeb Blunt says it best, that you've got to get down to the empathetic approach, and everything needs to be more psychologically driven to create intimate relationships with your clients or your prospective clients. So we're going to kind of touch on that pretty high level today. We're going to talk about some apples to apples based scenarios, and hopefully this is going to change your perspective on what it is that you're going to be doing from the sales process. So I think that it's all going to start with your heart change. Is going to start with the way that you actually do your approach before you even get to a prospective client. Do you care enough to do the research that when you get in, that the conversation is going to be driven more about the prospective client than yourself and your agenda? That's the first question you have to ask yourself. Are you willing to put in the time to where this is not technically going to be a quote unquote cold call, because you've done due diligence and you've went and done the research that's necessary to be able to ask those meaningful questions? So let's take an example, because I do believe that the work that you do in your pre-call planning could potentially be the most important work that you do in the sales process. So let's just say it's an ABC widget company, and you get online, you get on their comp. What resources do you have to be able to find out what questions that you can ask that are going to incite that type of intimate conversation? Well, you have the company website. Company website is going to tell you when they've been in business, what they do, how many employees they have, what footprint they have in the community, what outreach programs and things like that they could potentially be involved in, all of which are great talking points whenever you go in for that quote unquote cold call. The second thing that you have is you have LinkedIn. So a lot of people spend a ton of time pitching to the person that's not the correct COI. They may be talking to, say, for example, it's a general manager of a hotel, but that hotel is nationally owned and has a corporate office six states away. Well, you do want to start building that grassroots campaign relationship with the people that are on site and local, but they're not going to be the person that's going to write the $1 million check. They're not going to be the person that at the end of it is going to ultimately make that buying decision for whatever product or service that you're providing. And you can find that out by, getting onto the company website and seeing their list of hierarchy, who are the executives, where are they based out of, things like that. But even more importantly, if you get on LinkedIn, you can do a direct search based on the state and find out if you even have mutual connections. You might find out that you guys have people in common that you never had any idea that they knew. I mean, this is a small world after all, regardless of the fact that there are 7 billion people. Everywhere I go, I run into, what is it, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, where somebody knows somebody that I know. And, it happens everywhere all over the country. You have the company Facebook, personal Facebooks. Now, I'm not encouraging stalking by any means, but, you might find that you guys have some common interests, and you can use that through your nonverbal cues as you're sitting in front of them as well. And, Twitter, Instagram, just any type of social media outlet could potentially be ammunition that you have to be able to go in and have meaningful, engaging conversations with the correct COI. So you start doing your pre-call planning. You find out that the ABC widget company has been in business since 1952. The person that you actually need to talk to pertaining to the service that you provide, since you're doing, we're going to just stick with my industry that I've been involved in, which is disaster restoration. I know that I'm either going to need to get to the head of that organization or to his right hand, which is going to be the director of facilities or of engineering, because they're going to be the person that's actually dealing with the loss when it happens and most likely have been entrusted to make the phone call for that loss. Say if it's a grocery store chain, you may be dealing with a risk manager. If it's a university, a state-run organization, you may be dealing with purchasing. So it's important that you know who makes the calls for what whenever you're going to go in and talk to the right person. So you've established who the COI is, that they've been in business since 1952, that maybe they're involved heavily with United Way and do a really big outreach program once a year with United Way fundraising. And, you know, you just gather all this information so that whenever you actually set the meeting up and you sit down, you can operate on that 30-70 principality, which means that the talking should be done about 30% by you and 70% by the prospective client. And it's all going to be based on the types of open-ended questions that you're going to ask. You know, you can talk about, say, for example, if the buildings, you know, they've been in business since 1952, they've been through some stuff. They've been through some recessions. They've seen some big changes globally. Tell me, you know, what were some of the challenges in being able to keep their doors open for that long? And then utilize the best tool that you have in your box, which is just to sit back and shut up. You know, don't speak to respond. Speak to actively listen, because you care about the responses you're going to get, and let them talk and use silence in your favor. And then when they do talk about something for any particular length of time, you know, show your true, you know, your emotive aspect and say, you know, that's fascinating. Could you tell me, you know, some more about that? And really get engaged in getting into the meat of who they are, why they do what they do, why they're so passionate about it. And it helps you uncover, especially from a disaster restoration side, you know, the things like if it's a hotel and they were to have a catastrophic event, do you care enough as a disaster restoration professional about whether or not little Susie, the housekeeper, who's a single mom and this is her only means of income, whether or not she can clock in and do her job, or are you just there for a paycheck? You know, and there's where the head shift becomes the heart shift. And you start putting your place, yourself in their place, about stating, you know, what I care as much about your business as you do. So therefore, I'm not here for your business. I'm here to keep you in business. And I'm going to do everything that I can and utilize every resource I have to ensure that at the end of this really bad situation, that you come out better than the way you were. And I'm going to be instrumental, and it refers back to a previous series that I did. I'm going to be instrumental in being your undercover superhero. I'm going to be instrumental in ensuring that I care as much about your business as you do. And it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to go home and continue to do research and say, okay, well, what would happen if this grocery store had a power grid failure? Do I have resources at my disposal to be able to supply them with mobile chillers, portable pods that would keep their inventory safe, portable power? How can I go above and beyond the services I provide to truly be a servant to this business and be able to be their one-stop shop and meet every need? Maybe it's a hotel who has taken and slammed the door in your face repeatedly because you're the umpteenth vendor that's come in there for disaster restoration wanting to win the relationship. Maybe you choose to go teach how to do human trafficking awareness and offer to lead an in-service with them over that topic, which is an incredibly hot topic for hotels right now, and cater in lunch and think about the FaceTime that you're going to get with upper management. So I don't want to drag this out because it's going to be a very lengthy series, I think, because it does take time to change. But, you know, the sole purpose of developing, you know, a servant's heart is that your needs are secondary to the needs of others. But you're in business, you have a job to do, and you have a paycheck to make. But I can promise you that people will do business with people who care about them more so than they will about being sold. So it will all take care of itself in the long run. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is I want you to sit down and think of three ways that you can change what you're doing. It could be the questions that you ask. Instead of saying, this is what my business can do for you, you turn that around and say, what would you need from a company like mine? Instead of saying, showing up and throwing up and telling them every fantastic thing about your organization, why don't you talk about how fantastic their organization is? You know, so really spend some time and develop some thought on to how you can go from that head change to that heart change and put yourself and your needs secondary to that of your clients. And I encourage you that whenever you start having these successes and you start going out and putting these things into practice, watch the paradigm shift that happens. Watch the work that you are going to get come in that you never had any idea just simply because of word of mouth. And they tell their colleague, you need to work with this person. So we're going to continue this. If you do have any questions, comments, concerns, or feedback, drop me a line at eddie@tierlevel.com. I would love to hear it. We will continue this whole thing. It's going to go, like I said, I don't know how many parts it's going to be, but I really would like to get some people involved in this podcast and bring in some guests. So if you would be interested in sharing your success stories and best practices, again, drop me a line. We'll schedule a time. I can patch you in right here at Check One Studios, and we'll be able to go in and we can share best practices and we can talk openly, and you can be a guest on the podcast. So I would love to have that happen for you. So again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or feedback, make sure you drop me a line, eddie@tierlevel.com. And make sure you also to follow our owner's podcast, which is called The Niche Experience. We're going to be doing a lot of cohesive type podcasting as well. It all comes full circle back to Tier Level, and we would love to be able to interact with you on the things that are helping you to be successful or how we can help you be successful either way. So again, guys, I'd like to thank you so much for your time, and thanks for listening today, and we'll talk again soon.